Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Margaret, how you doing?
Well, I'm very good, and we're looking forward. I am looking forward.
What you said, licking.
I'm sorry?
You said you're licking forward.
No, I did not.
Let's let people say what they want to say.
Well, I heard the woman say...
You didn't hear me say any such thing, thank you. I am looking forward to Bobby Dooley and her little program on the radicalization of our young people and how she thinks she is going to stop that. I find that interesting.
Yeah, she said she would.
Bobby Dooley coming up in the next half hour here on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And our program this morning, and Robert, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Mr.
General, how's it feeling?
How's what feeling?
How's your life? How's everything going?
Oh, yeah, very, very good, thank you.
And Bud Dittman?
Yeah, doing pretty good.
All right. I want to tell you that, of course, our program is sponsored in part by FanDuel.com. And if you haven't joined up at FanDuel, you better get your act together, get your ass in gear, and get motivated, brother. You know.
Gotta get on FanDuel, man.
Yeah, one guy won a lot of money.
I don't know if I'm... I really don't know how comfortable I am knowing that some young man turned $25 into $25,000. You know what I mean?
No, I don't know.
How is it that a young man who is simply sitting there in Ohio and doesn't have access to the corridors of power?
Margaret, in this country...
General, don't tell me about this country.
In this country, a man can make the kind of money that a man wants to make.
All right, we can have that discussion at some other point. But right now, you've been hearing me talking about FanDuel.com.
General,
Yes, you did.
Okay, for the last time, would you not interrupt me while I'm reading?
Well, when you're going, when you start baby talking...
I didn't baby talk. You guys take what I said, and you turn it into that. I didn't go anywhere near any baby talk. I went get like that, maybe, okay?
It's a very short step to goo-goo.
It's a very short step to the goo-goo, and I know that sounds ridiculous.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Well, all right, Daddy. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Anyway, as I've been telling you guys, FanDuel.com is the place to go to get your fantasy football on. Because here's the thing. If you want to screw around with fantasy football leagues over the course of an entire season, dropping good money after bad, dropping bad money after good, trying to toy with that lineup that you erroneously and without full information and maybe the full use of your wits picked, and now you're stuck with this dog crap team for the rest of your born days on this planet, Jack, you have my sympathies. However, joining FanDuel.com means you pick a new team every week. Do you understand the freedom that that affords you? Do you understand the joy that can be yours? Now, if you haven't signed up, you're missing all of the fun, but don't worry, it's not too late. Because every week is a new week, and every week is a new opportunity to pick a new team and to make new money. Matt Nichols from Ohio, he turned a $25 deposit into over $25,000 playing fantasy football on FanDuel. They are the leader in one-week fantasy football leagues. The money's real. The entry fees start at just $1. By the way, last week I did win some money.
How much did you win?
I'm sorry?
How much did you win?
I won a couple of $100.
Oh, so what was the competition?
I got into the one-on-one. And there seemed to be, the better opportunity for me. Please, don't do it, okay?
Well, it did sound like you were gagging up.
Yeah, you said you almost gagged up last night.
I didn't almost gag up last night. Anyway, FanDuel.com, the leader in one-week fantasy football leagues. The money is real. Entry fees start at $1. No season-long commitment. No upfront fees. Play each week or whenever you want to play. Set a new lineup each week and win every week if you're good enough. But you got to be good enough.
Yeah.
FanDuel is paying out more than $10 million every single week this NFL season. So, play, man. If you play, you have a chance to win. And sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use my code HENDRY, H-E-N-D-R-I-E, and sign up now. New user specials are ending soon. FanDuel will match your first deposit dollar up to $200, but that's ending soon, okay? FanDuel will match your first deposit dollar up to $200. That's $200 free. The offer is good only for the first 50 people that use my code HENDRY. Don't forget to use my code HENDRY, H-E-N-D-R-I-E, FanDuel.com, where every week is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. Sign up today. All right, anyway, welcome back to the program. What is that?
Get the one.
Oh, that's in this moment.
Yeah, in this moment, that's Maria Brink and the crew. All right. So, where were we, man?
Well, you were talking about, did you gag up or what?
What is this we heard about you gagging up?
Yeah, I didn't gag up. Were you getting this, man?
Well, you said you did.
No, you didn't say I gagged up and said I couldn't breathe.
Last night, I was eating a piece of toast and it got lodged in my throat and I couldn't breathe.
Holy Jesus.
Phil, you're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. It's all right. I mean, I lived, but, you know, it's kind of a weird thing, man. If you've never been through that, if you've never been through the experience of trying to get a breath of air and all you're hearing is like that.
Well, that happens to be in the summertime.
Well, yeah, but that's your asthma, right?
No, it is not my asthma. I have a very specific respiratory ailment that has to do with what Frank brought back from Southeast Asia, but from the Southern Indian, from the Southern Asian continent.
Well, what did he bring back?
I don't want to go into it. But Frank brought back a bacterium that, what are you all looking at now?
Margaret, I've never heard this. I know that Frank has...
Don't say it, Phil. We all know Frank has untreated gonorrhea.
No, he doesn't. It's not untreated.
Well, yes, you're right, but it has gone narrow. As a result of that, he has gender confusion, but he also brought back a sub-Asian bacterium that infected my bloodstream.
Jesus, man, what are you talking about?
Margaret, what the hell are you on about?
You know, I'm not going to go into this.
Well, is that what causes your, what sounds like asthma?
Yes, that causes the asthma. It's nothing serious.
Well, when you say a sub-Asian...
Phil, this is not something, this is not the Andromeda strain, for God's sake.
What's that?
It was a fictitious virus that was brought back from... It was a book written by Michael, whatever the hell his name is.
Michael Crichton-Dighton is the...
Yeah.
That's not his name.
Yes, well, what is it?
Michael Crichton, isn't that it?
Well, no, I think it's more than Michael Crichton.
Michael Crichton? Michael Crichton, I thought, was the cat's name that wrote Andromeda Strain.
Phil, you know, you call everybody a cat. This guy's not some beatnik sitting in a cafe scribbling poetry.
I understand that. I understand that, but that's who I thought wrote Andromeda Strain. So we're not talking about that, I understand, but you do have some respiratory ailment.
Yes, Dr. Henry, that's what I have, a respiratory ailment that my understanding is the result of infection from my husband who brought back from the Southern Asian continent a sub-Indian bacterium strain.
God!
Oh, look at the racist...
Jesus, Phil, I mean... Everybody,
how does that make me racist?
Well, you're all going, you're recoiling at the idea of someone walking around with a viral strain in their blood from some hot, sweating, subtropical swamp.
You know, the way you just said that makes me think that even you would be shocked by that.
No, I didn't hear that, Phil. I hear a man trying to understand. You're the one shocked by the subtropical strain that infects my blood and the humors below my waist.
All right, thank you very, very much.
I knew it.
Thank you very, very much. Very nice. Good of you to talk about that shit with us, Margaret.
God.
Yeah, well, the sub-Indian strata... Okay. By the way, Ebola, for what it's worth, is now no longer a big-ass, scary-ass thing. That's what we're being told. We're also being told that it's still, you know... I mean, I got to keep their eye on it, but... turns out, what was this bullshit I just heard? It turns out somebody didn't have it?
Yeah, it turned out like maybe one of the nurses here in the United States didn't even have Ebola. Turned out it was like,
yeah, probably just diarrhea or something.
Yeah.
Just diarrhea or something, huh?
Alex, she ate a bad ham sandwich.
Ate a bad ham sandwich, and we're running around here thinking that she had Ebola?
That was my understanding, yes. Excuse me, I'm going to get some light ham. I've been avoiding it because of Ebola.
Yeah.
What are you laughing at?
You know what I'm laughing at. Yeah, but anyway, last night, speaking of stuff we put into our system, so I was there, and I couldn't breathe, and I'm wondering, now, how the hell am I going to start to breathe?
Well, what did you do?
Well, I realized that I could get air if I just started to slow my breathing down, because I was trying to take in this deep breath of air, and I was like, like that, because you're trying to get as much air as you can. You begin to panic a little bit. And that's the last thing you want to do. So what you got to do is slow it down, man, and you'll get air if you slow the breathing down, because as you're trying to bring it in really quickly, it's hitting that obstruction. Whereas if you bring the air in slowly, you're not forcing whatever it is that is obstructing your windpipe back down the windpipe. So I started to do that. And at the same time, as I got air into my lungs, I coughed as hard as I could to get this thing out of me, you know.
Now, Miss Anna, you told us one time your little sister was choking on something.
Yeah, what was that story about your sister, Marianne?
Well, my little sister had something caught in her throat. We were watching TV, I'll never forget, and I think it was in the summertime, and we were drinking kind of sodas with ice, and Marianne got ice lodged in her throat. I had no idea what was going on. I'm watching this TV. I suddenly turn around, and I see my sister get up and run into the kitchen. And my mother's in there, and my mother grabs her and turns her upside down, basically, and shook this ice out of her throat.
Yes, that is the instinct of every mother. That, you see, that doesn't surprise me. The instinct of every mother, Phil, is to immediately go into lockdown mode and begin to, and nothing is going to nothing is going to harm your child. You'll go into whatever mode you need to save that child.
Well, all right, Margaret, thank you very much for the movie of the week, but I'm trying to figure out...
General, do you understand what goes through the mind of a mother?
All right, hold on, Margaret. I think everybody, we understand, okay?
All right, I'm just trying to be clear.
I understand what goes through... So your daughter...
My sister. This is when I was like 11 or 10.
All right, your sister ran into the kitchen.
Ran into the kitchen where my mother was, and she made some... I don't know what she did. I'm watching TV, and I turn around and... somehow made it known to my mom that she had ice stuck in her throat. And my mother grabbed her, turned her upside down. That was the first thing my mother thought to do. I don't know if my mom didn't know anything about Heimlich or any of that other stuff where you grab, you know, you squeeze someone's rib cage.
What's it called?
Yeah, it's called Heimlich. And you're not allowed to, you got to squeeze a person.
Heimlich.
Yeah, Heimlich.
Oh, yeah, like the Heimlich maneuver.
Yeah, the Heimlich maneuver.
It's called a Heimlich maneuver, not renouver. You two guys, are you serious? Or are you putting me on with just how empty-headed you are?
No, hold on. The Heimlich maneuver. So my mother didn't do that. I don't know whether they were teaching it back then. The Heimlich maneuver became very much a part of the popular culture through a lot of humor, as evidenced by John Belushi, you know?
Oh, God, the Elizabeth Taylor. Oh, God, that was... that was absolutely hysterical.
Yeah, when when Elizabeth Taylor gave herself the Heimlich.
Yeah, yeah. Or whether it was well known in some areas and not in others, but what my mother did was she simply went into, yeah, like you were saying, Margaret, into mom mode. You know, how do I save my child? So she grabbed Marianne, turned her upside down, and literally just shook that ice right out of her throat. Well, I didn't have anybody to pick my ass up last night.
Yeah, that would have been a trick.
I mean, no offense, but, you know...
Yeah, you would have weighed too much.
Yeah, I got it. I know. I would have weighed too much. But,
Well, did you try to stand on your own head?
No. What I did was, is I just leaned over. As I got these big, deep, you know, lungfuls of air, I leaned over and I just coughed. You know, I just coughed as hard as I could, and then I would take another slow breath of air and keep coughing. I could tell that I was dislodging something in my throat because it was, like I said, how difficult is bread, even if it's toast, how difficult is it to get it out of your throat? So just enough of that made it happen. But I'll tell you, you know, there was that period there, and it only lasted maybe a few seconds where I'm thinking, Jesus Christ, I'm going to have to get in the car and drive myself to the hospital, you know, That was my immediate thought.
Well, why not call an ambulance?
Never occurred to me. It never even occurred to me. I don't think I could do that because what am I going to do? Sitting around there, not being able to breathe, waiting for an ambulance? I would rather get in the car and just drive it.
Well, what if you started gagging up in the car and you couldn't breathe and you're going, oh, God. I mean, I'm the memory, the sensory memory is coming back to me.
No, if... I don't know why. That would have been my instinct to get in the car and drive to the hospital, but it didn't have to. I didn't have to. It didn't have to. We didn't have to. And,
what do you mean we didn't have to?
I didn't have to, okay? And it's all good. Bobby Dooley's going to join us to talk about this another panic session, I guess. This is people worried about whether or not they have to go, you know, take a leash or something, or put on some kind of a pair of handcuffs on their kids and keep them from... What are you looking at?
We're waiting for you to spit this out.
Oh, sorry. In other words, what do we do with our kids if they want to go to the Middle East and join ISIS and be a bunch of assholes for a living, you know?
No, very well said.
Thank you. So how do you keep your kid from being an asshole for a living with ISIS? Because there were three little teenage girls that got intercepted in Europe. They were on their way to become ISIS fighters, man. I don't know, you know. I don't know what that about. You know?
That's right, Joe. Make it sound really trivial.
Oh, I'm not. Bob Bacon is on traffic watch for us this morning. Find out what's going on. Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing real good, Phil. I'm here. We're talking about the traffic here in around downtown Penn. Here in the foothill areas here in Los Angeles. There, we got a downtown car. There's a couple of cars and a pair of cars out there. They're getting married there. Two cars getting married here in the fast lane. And I'll tell you what, if you're on the south side of that 13 freeway, the 13, and there's a 13 birthday. Do you see that? Neil Bortz with the 13? Okay, you see Neil Bortz with the 13-year-old. That's fantastic. Bob Bakey in traffic. Bob Bakey in traffic.
Listener aggression is advised.
Bob Bakey in traffic.
Whenever I see a gun, I think about just how petty you were. And it blows my fucking mind. Yeah, it blows my fucking mind. These days.
Oh, my God. What is this?
This is Slipknot and Custer.
Don't waste my fucking time. Don't waste my fucking time.
Custer.
Is that not General Custer?
I don't know.
With jealousy and ignorance and all that government involves. This one it isn't special. Collections made of clay. I'm waiting for the punishment. I know it's on my way. God, get me up and fuck, fuck, fuck me.
Yeah! Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Remember that on the 29th of October is our one-man show, and that is the world of Phil Henry Truth is Our Bitch. That's on October the 29th, and it's going to be happening at the Ontario Improv. Now, the other thing I wanted to mention to you guys is on Saturday night,
Well, I don't think you fully fleshed it out.
Saturday night will be a part of a drunk history presentation at the Festival Supreme. And we will, what I would do is just watch your local, you know, here in the Los Angeles area, look for announcements as to the various venues. This is the Jack Black sponsored, or I should say the Jack Black coordinated, Jack Black created Festival Supreme. Now, I don't know who's sponsoring it.
Well, I imagine they've gotten all of the beer companies and...
Why do you assume beer companies?
Well, you look at Jack Black and you're thinking, and this is no offense to Mr. Black... if he's listening, but when one looks at you, Mr. Black, one is thinking, all right, let's get the beer.
Yeah, but get a beer company.
You might as well get a beer company, because that's the credibility. You understand that this is credibility. The credulity and the credibility of the sponsorship, I think, is enhanced, you know.
Yeah, with one look at Jack Black.
I didn't put it that way, General.
Well, that's the way. One look at Black Jack... or Jack Black, God damn it.
One look at Jack Black, you're saying, and a beer company's credibility is enhanced.
Yeah, what's the big deal with that? So what?
All right. Nothing. I don't know who's sponsoring the festival, so...
Yeah, what do you call it, man? Mr. Black Jack, anything like that.
You gotta watch out. Black Jack will be down here.
Well, you knock it off with a Black Jack. His name is Jack Black. Anyway, it's the Festival Supreme, and I'll be a part of a drunk history presentation on Saturday night. Then, something that's very important for you to understand and to know. Now, I don't know. It's fine. Do whatever you want. Do what you wish as you wish. But our show on the 29th at the Ontario Improv is likely to be our last for a period of time because we've entered into the development of a TV project, which is going to be taking a lot of my time. We'll be doing the podcast, and we'll be doing that. And I ain't got a whole lot of time for much. I got to make the announcement.
Let's slow down. Now, what are you saying?
Yeah, but you do have to make the announcement of F is for Family.
Yeah, I'll make the announcement about F is for Family, which is the Bill Burr thing.
But wait, hold on. We all know about you've been going off doing the funny voices. What's this thing you're saying?
I'm saying on the 29th of October... come out and see us at the Ontario Improv, because that is likely to be the last show we will be doing for a while. And the only reason why I'm saying that is because we're going to be up to our asses in work over the next 3 months. I mean, we have got a good 90 days ahead of us of churning out what we need to churn out for this particular project they're going to be working on. So be advised that the 29th of October, I doubt seriously whether we're going to be on stage anytime over the 3 months after that. Now, yes, we'll continue doing the one-man shows, but for a lengthy period of time, we will not. And if you want to come see the show, I would suggest you come see it on the 29th of October there at the Ontario Improv. Now, what...
Can't talk about on F is for Family?
All right, well, let's hold off. F is for Family is a animated series about the life and times of the great comic Bill Burr, and we'll tell you a little bit more about that.
Well, now, Phil, that's not fair. People are going to want to hear about this.
We'll tell them a little bit more about that as we continue here this morning. But first, Bobby Dooley has been patiently waiting on the line, and Ms. Dooley is with her husband, Steve Dooley. They are off to attend a couple of parent conferences there in the San Fernando Valley. And a very pleasant good morning to you, Bobby.
Yes, good morning, Phil.
And Mr. Dooley?
Mr. Dooley.
Yeah, my husband, Steve, is here.
Bobby, what is your concern as we've heard these stories of not only Western fighters, per se, going Western individuals, people from the West, people from Europe, people from the North America, going to join ISIS in this jihad. What is your reaction now to information we have that young people, and we've just had these three girls intercepted in Europe?
Well, we're very concerned, Phil, and to that extent, we're having a meeting, and this will be a series of parent encounters. These are one-on-ones with parents that we will be having. There will be no teachers involved. We're not going to have any clergy. We're not going to have any law enforcement. We really want to get one-on-one as parents with each other. And we want to ask some fundamental questions. Number one, are we prepared to do what we've got to do to get the kid, to keep the kids back, you know?
Yeah, I've got to do what I got to do to keep my kids, you know?
Yes, and that's very important. Number two, do we have the courage to say to each other, I got to do what I got to do? And so we're on our way now to one of those meetings.
What do you mean, do you have the courage to do what you got to do?
Well, what I mean is, I don't know what the purpose of your question is. I'm always suspicious, Margaret.
Yes, I know you are suspicious of me. I'm asking this with great honesty.
All right, ladies, now don't get into it.
Yeah, please don't. You're speaking very nicely right now.
No, it's fine. I just want to know what she's, you know.
What I'm up to. No, I'm not up to anything.
I didn't say up to. I want to know the purpose of your question.
My question is, what do you mean about do what you've got to do? Because I'm concerned. Bobby, I have a 14-year-old son.
All right, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to upset you.
Hey, Margaret, we all apologize to the extent that you're upset by this, and I didn't mean to raise my voice. When you say do what you got to do, it means lay down your life for your child, right?
It means...
I would think that that's what it means.
Well, all right. I think that... that's a very, very drastic. That's a very, very drastic thing to say. We're not looking for parents to lay their lives down. We are simply saying.
But it is true. You would lay your life down for the kid, wouldn't you?
What do you mean? I'd lay my life down for the kid?
I'm sorry. I mean, you'd lay your life down for your kid.
Yeah, wouldn't you lay the life down?
Well, when you say lay the life down, which life are you talking about?
Lay your life down for your kid.
Yes, you would sacrifice your life for your child, wouldn't you?
Well, I don't know that it's something that you, Miss Gray, and I don't mean this, or Phil, or anyone, I don't know it's something that you direct.
No, I'm not saying I direct, and my name is Margaret, if you want. You don't have to call me Ms. Gray, and everybody else gets the first name treatment.
I'm doing it out of respect.
Yeah, just thinking about trying to be respectful.
That's all we were trying to do.
All right. So, again, the question is outstanding. Don't you, wouldn't you, lay your life down for your child?
Well, the question you just asked there is, don't I lay my life down for my child? I never have.
No, the question, no. Ms. Dooley, the question is, wouldn't you lay your life down for your child?
All right, no, I understand that,
Margaret Dooley.
No, Margaret Gray, Margaret Gray.
My name is Margaret Gray, you're Bobby Dooley. Oh, wow.
Now, this is getting very crazy.
No, I'm being hit and peppered with a lot of questions here. You're asking me what?
But look, let me take this over, please.
All right.
Ms. Dooley.
Oh, you're going to take it over as if you're going to make more sense to me, Phil. I'm hearing the question. I don't know where it's coming from, okay?
No, I just want to know where it comes from.
All I want to know is where is it coming from, yeah?
You got a lot of questions in
there. All right, the question is, wouldn't you lay your life down for your child? Let's expand the question. Let's expand the area that the question would cover. Would you not lay your life down for your child if you knew that that child was being actively recruited for jihad by one of these terrorist organizations?
I thank you for that, Phil, and that is a clear question.
Yeah, that question boils it down, Vic, and it's very clear.
That is a very clear question, and I thank you for that.
All right, well, what's the answer?
What is the answer?
I'm formulating my answer. Oh, my God.
Please don't pressure my wife. We're on our way to a one-on-one. We're going to look face-to-face and see what you do, what you got to do.
You know, and Mr. Dooley, you are a wonderful man. I'm sure a very good father. But, again, when you speak, it comes out in half sentences, quarter sentences, the non sequiturs.
Now, you know, Dooley, you know, I agree.
Please don't call my husband Dooley. He has it almost as if it's a song, Hang Down Your Head, Steve Dooley. You know?
The song was Hang Down Your Head, Tom Dooley.
Whatever, you know. I mean, if you don't know your history.
Wait. Hold on. I'm not going to... Hang Down Your Head, Tom Dooley was a song that was based upon a real occurrence after the Civil War.
Now, Mr. Adler, you're going to get into a whole history lecture here.
Yeah, Phil, don't take us down memory lane now, all the way to the Civil War. If you're going to take me down memory lane, take me someplace where it's pleasant. I don't want to go all the way back to a place where there's about 1,000 bodies in an open field, gutted and stinking, and...
All right, come on, will you, General, please?
Well,
all right. So, forget about Hang Down Your Head, Tom Dooley. What we're talking about here...
No, Phil, no. The song is Hang Down Your Head, Steve Dooley. You're about to die.
My understanding.
No, the song was Hang Down Your Head, Tom Dooley. Poor boy, you're about to die. It was a folk song about a guy who came back from the Civil War, a Civil War soldier, a Confederate soldier, who finds that his girlfriend has been untrue, and he kills her.
Thank you very much.
Phil, what is the problem with you, anyway?
What do you mean, what is the problem with me? I was trying to speak up on your behalf.
Yeah, but now I gotta call her back and everything. She's gonna yell at me.
She's not gonna yell at you. And don't call her back. She hung up on us.
Yeah, Mr. Sir, it's a very important segment.
Yeah, I think it's important, Phil. This is a segment on what you do when your kids are gonna go off to that jihad. And let me tell you, I'll tell you what I do.
Yes, General, we need some sanity. What would you do?
I'll tell you. Sanity? I thought you stood opposed to me when it comes to national defense.
Well, at this particular time, I need your sanity.
All right. If one of my kids was being recruited for the jihad, I'd get on the phone with whoever that turkey was, and I'd say, Turkey, you better start running, because by the time I get there, I'll already have caught up on you by about 150,000...
Fuck it. All right, thank you. That was very clear.
And to think I thought I'd get some sanity.
I am very beside myself with these turkeys and jive monkeys.
Jive turkey.
I'm sorry, jive turkey.
You hit the microphone.
Oh, did I really? I know I hit the microphone, Phil, with my right hand, because all I have to do is smell my hand, and I realize it smells like dung, because that's the one that Dickman's been speaking into.
Hey.
You got that right.
But don't applaud yourself being insulted. That's ridiculous.
Oh.
So now I don't know where we are.
You talked about Hang Down the Head, Steve Dooley.
Not?
Oh, my God.
Thomason, you clenched your fist.
Yeah, you guys make me that angry. Hang Down Your Head, Tom Dooley. Not Steve Dooley, Tom Dooley.
You're certain of that?
Yes, I am. I'm not saying that was the guy's name. I'm just saying that that's how the folk song was written. Who knows what the guy's name was? Maybe it was Tom Dooley.
You talk about it was based on the Civil War?
It was based on a guy coming back from the Civil War, a Confederate soldier, who, as many young men before and after him, had returned from battle, from a war, and found that his young girlfriend, lover, fiancé, wife, I think it was his fiancé, had taken up with another guy, and Tom Dooley decides, you know, I'm going to kill him. That's what he does.
Well, then what did he do? I thought he cured cancer or something, right?
Then he did what?
The guy, Tom Dooley, shot his girlfriend and went to Africa. Isn't that right?
Shot his girlfriend and went to Africa?
Bob, is that, how racist is that?
Yeah, you making fun of a guy for going to Africa?
No, I'm not making fun of the guy for going to Africa. Not at all. Not at all, no. I just don't know what you guys are talking about, that's all.
Phil, you don't have to raise your voice.
Well, I'm raising my voice, okay? And we'll be back. Get Ms. Dooley back on the line. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, where every day is just a walk in the park, man. I'm just digging it, you know? Phil Henry Show. Mickey Most here at Mickey Most Chevrolet and Tires. Come in, get four tires, brand new tires that we'll put on, we'll rotate, even though we don't know what that means, and put them on a Chevrolet. If you have a Chevrolet, we'll do it for free. If you don't, buy the car first, and then we put the tires on at Mickey Most Chevrolet and Tires.
Sick like me.
This chick here, this Maria Brink, if she were my daughter or granddaughter, I would have the lineage checked very carefully if there was the off chance that we weren't related, and then I'd marry it. I'm General Galen Shaw.
Yeah! Oh, Jesus.
What a... That is, you know something, you should be taken out and beaten with a crowbar for what you just said.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. 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 All right, thanks so very much, you whore, you. All right.
Oh, my God. The anger in your voice toward the female of the gender.
The female of the gender?
Yes.
All right, we have a couple of things operating right now. One is Bobby Dooley is going to be back on the line with us to talk about threat to our young people being recruited by ISIS, but also we're going to find out and clear up the song Hang Down Your Head, Tom Dooley. It is not Hang Down Your Head, Steve Dooley. You're about to die. It's Tom Dooley. And Tom Dooley did not kill his girlfriend and then go to Africa to cure cancer. Thank you. We'll be right back.
The world-famous Phil Henry Show at the El Pacifico.
Beautiful and sick like me.
I'm Margaret Gray.
All right, so Ms. Dooley, I'm very, very sorry, Ms. Dooley, if I confused you, if I made you angry or whatever, but we were honestly trying to answer some questions.
I understand, Phil, and I know you're up against an awful lot, and I don't mean anything against the panel, but I think the questions fly so fast and furious that it's very difficult for Steve and I, you know, Steve?
Yeah, it's very difficult for us to keep track of it. Now, if I have to say one thing.
I want to say this, Steve. When I said, hang down your head, Steve Dooley, I wasn't necessarily referring to the song. I was referring to a conversation that we had last night about our three sons. Phil, I'm the mother of three, and Margaret, I know you have a young boy.
Yes, I do, and I'm...
And I don't mean to upset you. What we want, Phil, is to protect our children. And so we're having the one-on-one. We're going to sit in chairs facing another parent, and our knees will be touching. This is all a part of the one-on-one, gotta-do-what-I-gotta-do therapy. And we'll stare into the eyes of these other parents, and as I hear myself say this, I hear in my voice almost a poetic mellifluence. I hear the breathiness. And I know now the tone that I will use when I address the parents at this particular confab that we're about to go to. I'm going to say, let's get kneecap to kneecap, and let's talk about what we got to do.
Well, it sounds a little... I'm sorry, Bobby, that sounds almost pornographic.
How are you... What do you mean?
Well, you're going in and do. It's very breathy.
I find us getting sidetracked.
Well, no, I think this is... You don't think that me saying, I'm Bobby Dooley, and welcome to our discussion of the children that are going to get inducted.
Yeah, Bobby, I think you're slurring the words a little bit.
Don't say the word slur, then look me up and down, Steve.
I'm sorry.
You know, that is a problem that we have in common. There's a lot of guys that look me up and down, too.
Well, all right, so then you know where I'm coming from.
I would not recommend using that tone of voice when you're talking to parents about their children being abducted. They're going to think you're making fun of them.
How would that be?
When you're standing up there and saying, I'm gonna do what I gotta do. You, what are you trying to be, Marilyn Monroe or something?
No, I'm not trying to be anything, Phil. I'm Bobby Dooley.
My wife's hot enough. Shouldn't have to be no Marilyn Monroe.
No, I don't have to be no Marilyn Monroe. So understand, Phil, that what we're doing...
No Marilyn Monroe, that's good.
Well, I'm sorry that I don't speak the king's English or the queen's English. I'm here because I care about my sons.
We all care about our children. We want to know, Bobby, what is the actual program to keep these kids from becoming members of the ISIS or what the other one?
No, that's on the ISIL.
The ISIL or the ISIL?
Yes, the ISIL.
Well, I call it ISIL.
That's fine. You call it ISIL and you call it ISIL. So what's the program?
Thank you very much for your time.
God damn, you can't talk my wife like that.
They haven't hung up.
You haven't hung up, dear.
Have Jim talked to you like that?
No man talks to me like that, Steve, except for you.
Ms. Dooley, you haven't hung up.
Say again?
You haven't hung up.
Well, I've been assured that we have. Oh, no, we haven't. We're using an old rotary dial phone.
Yeah. It's the kind that you put your finger in. Have you ever used one of them, Mr. Henry? Have you ever used one, Mr. Henry?
Yes, I have. I have used one.
God, he's laughing at me, Bobby.
Well, you sound like an asshole.
You know, there are days I do feel sorry for you, Phil.
Yeah, today is one of those two people couldn't spit out what they want to say if you put the gun up their anus and said, okay, I'll spare your mouth, but I will blow your asshole off. Now how do you feel about that, Apple? Excuse me.
How do you feel about that, Apple?
Yes, I singularized it for you, Dickman. You're so dumb.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's pissed off and walking out of the room. They're hanging up, they're walking out of the room. Hanging up, walking out of the room. You know, it's almost as if my real life is playing out on my show. Because in my life, I've had a lot of that, you know?
That's real interesting, thank you. Can we get to the good stuff here?
Jameson, what about Hang Down the Head, Steve Dooley?
Okay, Hang Down Your Head, Tom Dooley. I've been doing some reading here.
Now, okay, I came back just, I want to hear this.
Would you get a napkin for the general?
Yeah, general, you got cod cheese coming out of your mouth. Well, I better not say.
Don't you say it's like a porn movie you were watching, or so help me God, I'll bury you in cottage cheese.
I didn't say nothing.
Get him a napkin.
Thank you. Now, this Hang Down the Head.
Hold on. I'm going to say it, and I don't want anybody to talk. Do we have... Okay, Herb Sewell is a historical researcher. He's going to join the show here and talk about exactly what it was I was trying to say with the Tom Dooley thing. Herb Sewell joining us from his home. We're not going to be identifying, I should say, where Herb is, because that is a part of the agreement with the penal authorities. He's on parole and living at a halfway house. What is that music I'm hearing there, Herb? Herb, is that music I'm hearing there?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Phil, I'm not... the other room. Yes. Good morning, Phil. Herb Sewell here from location that is not to be revealed. Right now, they've moved a roommate of mine in here, so for the time being, I have a roommate. I did have a room to myself, but they've moved a roommate in. A good chap, older one who has had his fair share of troubles. I'm not at liberty to give you his name, but you can hear he's got his boombox on, or his radio. It's not a boombox, right? This is a song here I've heard before, Return of the Mac. So I said you can keep it on. Otherwise, you know that I have a history of violence, right?
Yeah.
All right, so he knows I have a history of violence, but I did say he could keep this on.
As long as it's not distracting you.
Well, I can hear the music. It's distracting me.
I'm sorry, General, but I said it's either that or we get into a fight, and you know how fights with me end up. The man will be in 5 or 6 different trash bags. I'm trying to avoid that. Is that all right with you, Wu, to say it the way Margaret would say it?
I personally don't care. It's not distracting me.
Herb, the reason why we called is because we wanted to ask you about Tom Dooley, the legend of Tom Dooley and the song.
Yes, the song, yes.
All right. First of all, is it Tom Dooley?
Of course it's Tom Dooley. Why? No. Let me guess. Was Steve Dooley on the phone?
Yeah, you got it there, Mr. Sewell. Steve Dooley thought a Hang Down the Head, Steve Dooley.
Yeah, well, there you go. You get what you pay for with that couple. Steve and Bobby, Hang Down Your Head, Steve Dooley. How I wish it was Hang Down Your Head, Steve Dooley. How I wish it was Steve Dooley whose head was being slipped into that noose that day as that song, you know, was being ripped, you know. I find it to be ironic to the point of sadness and tears that it wasn't Steve Dooley whose head was going into the noose. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, we understand you, Sewell. God almighty, get to the point about Tom Dooley.
I'll get to the point about Tom Dooley. I'm sitting in a room now with a new roommate who has a history of violence himself but nothing near mine, and he's playing Return of the Mac, and I've allowed him to play Return of the Mac, but there's only so much of it that I can stand before I lose it.
Well, you know something, Sewell? You're welcome to lose it with me any day of the week.
General, I'm not trying to disrespect you. You know, I'm trying to spit out what it is they want me to say, and at the same time, I've got this band playing this. Is that scratchy? Listen to that.
Well, you gave him the permission.
Yeah, I gave him. It's either that or I kill him. God. So here is what I was saying. Tom Dooley was indeed, Phil is absolutely correct, Tom Dooley was a Confederate soldier who left the ranks of the Confederacy and made his way home on those fateful months of 1865. Yes, defeated army, the Confederate army, trudging home, given their mules, their horses, and their carts. They were not allowed to return home with their weapons, however, but they were allowed to return home. They were, as they say, pardoned, forced to take the oath, and back home they went. Well, Tom Dooley returned home only to find his fiancée was there. She had taken up with another man.
What she did? What did they see? Did he see anything?
I don't know if he saw anything. What respect you mean?
Well, he walked by the window?
He might have walked by a window and seen, yes, something quite extraordinary and heartbreaking. He might have walked by a window and seen two people going at it like animals on the couch in the living room. And he might have, I'm guessing here, he might have knocked on the door and said, it's Tom Dooley, would you, Beatrice, or whatever her name was, it's your fiancé, Tom Dooley, you know, and she might have said, oh my God, hold on, I've got to get my panties on, you know. And that was probably the last straw. He probably pulled the bayonet, took the bayonet off of his rifle. Well, he didn't have a rifle, so it had to be his bare hands. He went in, dispatched immediately her lover with a throttling of the throat, then strangled her, then threw them both in an unmarked grave, and was probably on his way out of town on the noon train when the authorities did catch up to him.
All right, so this is all speculation on your part.
Yes, it's all speculation on my part, Phil. I'm not saying that this isn't the actual fact. Are you playing that again? He's playing it again. You like that song, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I got this guy that I've got for a guy. Hold on, Phil. You got to meet this guy. What's your name?
What?
What is your name?
Cobb.
It's Cobb or Carl?
Cobb.
Cobb. You like this song, Cobb?
Uh-huh.
And what do you like about it?
You lied to me.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, so where was I?
This guy's your roommate, huh?
Yeah, this is the guy they stuck me with. I said, look, it's fine. It's fine. But I'll kill him if he gets out of line. They said, is the music all right? I said, the music's fine. I can live with the music. Do-do-do. You like the song, though, huh?
Uh-huh.
All right, now, Tom Dooley that you're talking about, the one who cured cancer, is a completely different Tom Dooley. This is a Dr. Tom Dooley, who indeed won the Nobel Prize, I think, for peace or for love or tranquility or whatever they give that. I don't know the name of it. And so Tom Dooley, the doctor, he did indeed work with disadvantaged and the medically needy in Africa. And Tom Dooley became a legendary name in the area of altruism and philanthropy and so forth, you see.
All right, so Tom Dooley was a separate guy altogether, the Tom Dooley, the doctor, from the Civil War veteran.
Yes, two completely different men. Two completely different men, separated by almost a full century. But the Tom Dooley of modern times was indeed a doctor and a very great man in the work that he did for the needy. Now, I don't know if I've answered your question.
No, that's it. That's perfect.
All right, so I had it all wrong then, huh?
Yeah, you had it all wrong there, Beauregard.
You know something, Sewell?
Yeah, I know. Well, you can't because I'm here and you're there. There, I stuck my tongue out. That's what you've reduced me to.
I didn't do that to you. You did that to yourself.
No, your idiocy and your dumb questions and the whole dumbness of your existence made me go, and I've tried to keep a very classy and a very dignified exterior through all of this. And you just made me go, bleh. So I feel like, and I'm sitting in the same room with a mental deficient who's playing Return of the Mac. So what have I got? Nothing. My life is one big fat zero. I'm looking at a road ahead of...
Thank you very much, Herb. We had to hang up on you too, man. So we're batting 1,000 here this morning. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, Florida, with a brand new one here called GDFR, along with Sage the Gemini and Ludacris, I think. Florida, Phil Henry Show. Will be right back.
Oh, yeah, this is that Florida, the guy you said you can't stand.
I can't stand Florida, but he's got a couple of guys in here that I do like.
Well, what if Florida's listening to this?
Sorry, Florida. Sorry, Flo.
Yeah, call a guy Flo.
Just did.
Your girl just kissed a girl. I do buy.
Shit.
Shake for a shake. I'm throwing these Emirates in the sky. Spinning this awesome llama. Make them piece the M-O-N-E-Y. I love my beaches. South beaches. Surf, board, and high tide. I can just roll up because I'm swole up. So that birthday cake get the Cobra. Bugatti for real. I'm Cobra.
Stone Cold. Bill's Stone Cold Ice Cream. Just in time for Thanksgiving. You wouldn't think of eating ice cream during the coldest month of the year, would you? Stone Cold! Bill Stone Ice Cream is the ice cream you need, you require, you must live, you must have this ice cream. It isn't just for kicks, it's not just for dessert. You've got to have it or die. Stone Cold! That's why we call Bill Stone Ice Cream Stone Cold, because that's what you'll be if you don't eat it. Stone Cold Ice Cream. You'll die without it.
It's going down further than FEMA's. Girls get wetter than Katrina. Yeah, my girl, you never seen it. Cause my tints by limousines. My touch say it's the Midas. We the plush on man of minus. My team blowing on that slam. Make you cough, cough, that's bronchitis.
Put your all right, shut up.
Jesus, you just told Sage the Gemini and Look Ass. That's not,
You're right, that was not Ludacris. That's Look Ass.
Oh, it's Look Ass. Jesus, you know, the misogyny and the misogyny is remarkable on this program.
What do you mean, misogyny?
The misogyny, you've heard the word misogyny. It's also, the French pronunciation is misogyny or misogyny.
Oh, come on, will ya?
No, Phil, hold on.
Come on, will ya?
All right, now that you've mocked me for the 9 millionth time, are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. No, I am not kidding. Misogyny or misogyny.
Yeah, misogyny.
I didn't say misogyny. Are you trying to F with me?
No, but that's what you said.
I said...
All right, Margaret, we're done with the English language lesson and the French language lesson for this morning.
Fine. You want to walk through life dumb as the day is long? You go right ahead.
That's how I think I'd like to do it.
Great. Have fun.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. I'm going to go through life really stupid.
Good for you.
Thank you.
I hope you know what you're doing.
All right, Margaret, thank you.
Jeez.
Well, Margaret, you know, the guy's got to move on, okay?
I understand that. But when I say that this show is very at a high level of misogyny, you know what now I sound?
Yeah, now you sound stupid.
Yeah, but that's Mr. Hemp. Excuse me.
Yeah, walk that one off, Margaret.
That's what I'm going to do.
Misogyny.
Yeah, for me, I thought that was about like...
Well, yeah, it's not like you missed the genie, you know? You had your two... You had one more free wish, and the genie just left town.
Well, how's that possible, man, if the genie's going back into a bottle, see?
Don't try to make sense of it, Henry, okay?
All right. The second game of the World Series was last night, and the San Francisco Giants were returned to the planet Earth, not as willing participants in an aerial ballet that soon came to an end and they floated to the earth very gently as a feather might. No, they were dropped out of the aircraft by the Kansas City Royals on their heads to the tune of a 7-2 shellacking last night. There was a big, big sixth inning there by the Kansas City Royals, and it was as ugly as the day is long. It sputtered at the start, weighed down by a lopsided opener and slipshod moments. It belched and gurgled for two nights, giving off an exhaust of dullness and dominance. It threatened to stall and disappoint until suddenly, with a loud, throaty roar, the 110th World Series kicked into gear in a head-spinning sixth inning Wednesday night. Fastballs hummed at 101 miles per hour. Line drives hissed to and over fences. Benches emptied. And as the Kansas City Royals turned the cold-blooded San Francisco Giants into a blubbering heap of bad decisions and gnarled relievers, the Fall Classic sprung to life. Now we have ourselves a series. So writes Adam Kilgore for Major League Baseball website. On the line with us from Kansas City is our very own Richie. Now, have we given Richie a new last name?
Yeah, Richie Gerglavilla, right?
Yeah.
Richie Gerglavilla. Okay, Richie Gerglavilla is, I don't know where the hell that name came from. Anyway, Richie Gerglavilla is joining us here on our newsmaker line from Kansas City. Richie's doing the Major League Baseball coverage for us this season, and is, of course, now you finally stayed there in Kansas City, Richie, and we're very, you know, happy to see that.
Yes, I had to stay here because I recognized that the second game was still here in Kansas City, so we turned around and made our way back to the hotel.
So the second game, with the Giants suddenly succumbing to a brutality, an onslaught the likes of which man on this planet has not seen in the sixth inning.
Well, I think man has seen this kind of onslaught, although for the Giants it couldn't have been very much fun there in the sixth inning, as the Kansas City Royals did indeed come to life, Phil, and snapped a tie ball game and launched into, actually the lead was with the Giants there at that point, 3-2, and launched into a 7-2 lead, and eventually did win this ball game last night. I don't know whether that was the actual final score or not. I can look it up for you, but who cares? The game was a Kansas City Royal win, and it sent home the faithful with smiles plastered across their Midwest faces, with their corn-fed, if I may say this, Phil, with their corn-fed, backsides wiggling up and down a little more happily, a little more jauntily. We saw the large men and the large women with a very quick step, and it's not something you're going to see in the Midwest with a lot of the lard that you see on thighs and on the buttocks. The people...
Are we going to be treated to some adult conversation?
Gray, I'm trying to give it the way I got it, all right? I get it fat and I get it wiggly, and that's how I'm giving it to you.
Whatever that means.
Don't worry. Last night, the Kansas City Royals evened this 1-1. Now, what happened, Phil, in that, I think it was the sixth inning or the seventh, it doesn't make any difference, a home run was hit off of the reliever Strickland. Now, one of the men on base, Perez, came around third base, and as Strickland was talking to himself angrily, yelling into his mitt, very upset that he'd given up this big dinger to really open the ball game up, Perez is coming around third base and is heading home, and Perez looked over at Strickland as if to say, what are what does he do? He didn't say anything to him, but he looked at him, wondering if the yelling was directed at him. Well, no, in fact, it was not. But when Strickland saw Perez looking at him, Strickland then turned and looked at Perez and began shouting at him. So what you had was an argument that began with a complete misunderstanding, but it really wasn't an argument so much as Strickland was the one that was yelling at Perez.
Yeah, I saw that, and this guy Strickland, this kid looks like a guy that's got a real short fuse. He was pissed off all the way back to the dugout. In the dugout, he looked like he was ready to rip somebody's head off, and I think somebody finally said, get into the clubhouse, get out of here.
Well, that's how we saw it, too, but... he did not stop talking to Strickland, talking to Perez. He didn't stop jawjacking and wolfing Perez all through the rest of this mound appearance until finally he was relegated to the dugout. Now, it showed, obviously, the competitiveness of Strickland, but it also showed that the Kansas City Royals had psychologically, if you will, broken the San Francisco Giants last night. As euphoric as the Giants were over that big win, in game one, that's how much of a trip back, as you put it, Phil, back to the planet Earth, this game was last night. So we're looking forward to game three here at Kauffman Stadium, and I think anything goes.
Now hold on, you got to go to San Francisco.
You're going to San Francisco.
I'm going. Do you want me to say it?
Go ahead.
I'm going to be up there myself, Richie, but what is your last name now?
Richie Bougainvillea.
Richie Bougainvillea. I heard it was Gerglavilla.
What does that mean, Gerglavilla? That's not it.
We had to change Richie's last name from Gunn because it sounded too much like Tim Gunn, and people think you sound like Tim Gunn.
Well, it's, neither here nor there. I don't care whether I sound like him or not. But I do care about my name. The family name is Bougainvillea.
Then why did we change it to Gunn?
You didn't change it. I did.
Why'd you change it to Gunn?
Because it sounds badass. Are you kidding? Gunn? You know what a gun does.
That's pretty badass, Missouri.
All right, so we're going to use your name.
Yeah, well, let's just spend the next 10 minutes talking about my family. The last name is Bougainvillea, all right? We come from a long line of gardeners. Is that all right with you? So the last name is Bougainvillea, or flower growers. We were florists and gardeners, and we did lawn jobs. We come from a long...
You come from a long line of people that do lawn jobs.
Yes, that's right.
Well, that's funny.
Oh, is that funny? I'm here reporting on the World Series. And then I'm coming home. Yeah, I've got two lawn jobs I got to do this week.
Why are you doing lawn jobs when you've got a job as a reporter?
Because it's expected of every male bougainvillea. What are you talking about?
Why would you be doing that kind of work when you actually have a professional job as a reporter?
I just got done telling you. Because...
Yes, I know, because it's expected of every male bougainvillea when it sounds stupid.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to hear that my family's chosen profession, doing lawn jobs, sounds stupid. And
well, I don't know why you're expected to keep doing lawn jobs when you have your own career as a reporter, but hey, you know.
Yeah, well, hey is right, okay? I've got two lawn jobs, and one of them is a customer of mine for the last 4 years, long before I ever started doing sports reporting. I mow that lawn, I got to do an edging job, and then I'm done. Big deal.
How much do you get for that?
But I think I get 50 cents an hour. I've never raised the price. Oh, listen to this.
Well, maybe we're doing a breath check here, huh? You've heard of that.
Well, I've certainly gotten a whiff of the breath in that room, if that's what you mean.
All right, well, thanks a lot, Richie. Great talking to you. We're looking forward to game three. You're going to be in Kansas City.
No, I'm coming back to San Francisco. I forgot, okay? Would you get a cab? I'm telling Gina, who's the assistant here at the hotel, go get me a cab. Get me a cab. Call me a cab. Get a cab. And that's the oldest joke.
Yeah, all right. So thanks a lot.
All right, so we'll see you in San...
Call me a cab, you're a cab.
Yeah, it's the oldest joke there is, and I guess they couldn't resist.
Well, who's this Gina?
It's the assistant that they've assigned him to help him while he's reporting. So, yeah, thank you very much there, Richie Bougainvillea, who is our baseball reporter for the World Series. And as he said, and as we all saw last night, it was Kansas City jumping up off the mat like almost like they'd never been down. Almost like it was, well, you know, we lost the first game. I guess we've won too many consecutive games. How many games? They won 8 in a row.
Oh, yeah, they'd won 8 in a row to start in the playoffs.
Yeah, so I guess they were due. But make no mistake about it, man. When they showed up last night, ready to just slay, they put it on San Francisco and made the made their case. And I think that writer is correct. We got ourselves a series, especially the bad blood that appeared to have been generated. Although I got to tell you, it didn't look like it to me.
Yeah, all the guy did, man, he's yelling at his mitten, and the other guy goes, what?
Yeah, it looked like nobody really at fault.
Well, what happened?
Well, this one guy on the mound started yelling his mitt.
Yeah, he started to yell at his mitt.
What do you mean he yelled at his mitt? What kind of mental disease is that?
Well, the guy was yelling. He had just given up a home run, and he was screaming into his mitt. It's something pitchers do. You've seen it a million times. Pitchers just start yelling into the glove, and that's what he was doing as he stalked around the mound during the home run trot. And I think there was, I don't know how many runners on base, three or something, that were running around the bags. And one of them was Perez, and he with the catcher. And he looked to hear what it was Strickland was yelling at. Strickland happened to look over at Perez right at that moment and thought, this guy is staring at me and wants to make something out of it. And Perez is, what do you, you know, I really feel that Strickland just went off the deep end there.
Well, he was very upset about throwing the pitch that got the home run, right?
Yes, he was the guy. But he you're right, Phil. He overreacted when he threw the pitch, and that guy Perez looked at him. But I'll tell you what, I would have been ready to tear someone's head clean off, just like B.J. Eastwood, you know?
Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, there you are.
All right, well... Yeah, so we're looking forward to the return to San Francisco and the, you know, what else is going to be happening? And it could be a whole holy hell of a lot. Well, guys, I'm very, very grateful that you've all joined us for our show this morning. We are going to take off early. We have business to attend to that will take up a good portion of the day. And so the commute and so the business and so the return. Reminder. Get tickets for our October 29th show. It will be the last show for probably 2 to 3 months before we go back out live again. We're working on a television project. Oh, and Bill Burr's F is for Family is now officially launched by Netflix. I'm very happy to say that I'm a recurring player on that show. It's an animated show featuring Bill Burr, the great comic, Laura Dern, Justin Long, who is a hell of a nice guy, and at the record session on Thursday, or it was Tuesday, was looking me up on the internet on his phone and asking me about where I was born, where I was raised, my habits, my, you know.
Was he kidding around?
I think he was, but he's a funny guy, nice guy. Justin Long was there, and we got a lot of great cast members on that show. Mo Collins, Kevin Farley. So I do hope that you'll, and who's the young lady I was talking about?
Oh, you're talking about Haley Reinhart.
Haley Reinhart is also in the cast. So and Vince Vaughn is an executive producer. So they got a star-studded array of people there, and we're hopeful, of course, that you guys will make that a big, big, huge part of your loving and kissing and hugging and squeezing and TV viewing, my brother. All right, we'll see you guys, as I say, tomorrow.
Yeah.
8:30 for the pre-show, 9 o'clock for the regular show, world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, man.
Don't forget to listen to the download of the Phil Hendry Show podcast, which follows shortly.
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is executive produced by Phil Hendry. For C. Emperor Incorporated, I'm Margaret Gray. That's what I think of all of you, and especially
Margaret.
No, especially Bobby Dooley.
Hang down your head, Steve Dooley.
I make my own money, so I spend it how I like. I'm just living life. Hey. And let my mama tell it, nigga, I ain't living right. The top off the porch, that's a headless horse. Hey, hey, hey. Extendo long as an extension cord. Damn, court. Bitch, I ball like Jordan, and I play full court. I play full court. And if you're not my type, then you know I gotta keep this shit short. Gotta keep this shit short with you. Hey. What you know about a chick? What you got up in your pocket? What you spending when you shopping, dog? Why you wanna go flex? Like you all in the mix, like you got some shit popping off. I got some models that you see up in the movies, and they wanna make a flick for the camera. Yeah? Wanna be Kim Kardashian. Hey. Heard I was living like a bachelor. Woo. I don't got no type. Nah. Bad bitches is the only thing that I like. You ain't got no life. Nah. Cups with the ice, and we do this every night. Hey. I ain't check the price. I got it. I make my own money, so I spend it how I like. I'm just living life. And let my mama tell it, nigga, I ain't living right. Spend it how I like. Yeah. Sitting every night. Yeah. Push start the whip. Hey. Brought it straight to life. Kind of life. Blowing on the kush. Blowing. Till I'm out of sight. I'm gone. I don't check the price. Bitch. All I do is swipe. Woo. She say, what's your type? Yeah. I said, I like what I like. Yeah. I don't second guess. Nah. I just roll the dice. Keep it moving. Keep your two cents. Hey. Take your own advice. Hey. I've been living life. Yeah. Like I live twice. I don't got no type. Nah. Bad bitches is the only thing that I like. Got no life. Nah. Cups with the ice.